Shaw from K Gardenella. I have been with the Charismatic Renewal for the past 30-some years. And I don't know how many of these lifeless spirits I've made, and I don't know how many times I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But throughout all the years, I have received so many gifts. And I'd like to share them with you. This is what we're supposed to do, share them with one another. Now, I have to follow what the popes were saying, and that's pretty hard to follow what they were saying, but I'm going to try my best tonight, okay? You bear with me. And this would be the first talk, and it's going to be God's love. And, you know, we come together in the presence of God to experience the reality of Jesus and his transforming spirit. And if you go along with 7 weeks, you'll find how your life will transform. Now, this first session is God's love. Now, God loves each one of us regardless of what we have done. He still loves us. He doesn't care for the sin, but he loves us because God is all love. And he has created each one of us for a full, happy life in union with him, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Now, this love is evident in many ways throughout the history of the world, but especially in the coming of Jesus. That is why, as part of our creed, we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. He loves you, God, the creator of the universe, the one who made all things out of nothing, loves you. He wants to care for you and give you a better life. He wants to be in a personal relationship with you. He also wants to be the Father of all of us as sons and daughters. Can you believe that you are a son and a daughter of the Almighty God? It puts chills right through my body. He does not want there to be any barrier between you and him. He promised in Jeremiah 31, verse 33, that I will be their God and they will be my people. Because he loves us so much, God sent his only Son to save us. He sent Jesus so that we may have life and have it abundantly. Now, abundantly means everything, our health, our needs, whatever. In the creed again, we say, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, and through him, all things were made for us men and for our salvation. Jesus Christ has come to give us power to live this life. And you know it's hard to live this life. And we do need Jesus. Through him, we can know God's love and share in God's life with others. In John 14, verse 6, it says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. Do you understand why we have to have this relationship with Jesus? We will never, ever get to the Father without him. I'm going to ask Bob if he would show a little illustration here, and let me explain how important it is for us to know Jesus. Okay? There it is. This is like a bridge. And up the top is God. Down below is us, sinful people. In the middle would be Jesus Christ. Now, there is a gap. There is a gap between us and God. Now, how do we get to God? How are we going to get through that gap? The only way that we can get through that gap is through Jesus Christ. Without him, we will never know the Father. This is why it is so important to have this relationship with Jesus Christ, because he is the one that will fill that gap and get you to the Father. Do you understand that? Accepting Jesus into your life is more than an intellectual belief that Jesus was God and died for us. It is more than just doing good works and following his moral teachings. It means having a personal relationship, I can't stress that enough, with Jesus and growing in his love as we surrender our lives, especially through and with his body, the church. And the church is you and I. We, the people, are the church. We should make Jesus the center of our life, to give him our burdens and ask him to take over these burdens and help us through this life, which is hard. You know, it's really hard to live this life in this world. We need Jesus. Jesus was immersed in the River Jordan doing his baptism, and he promised the gift of the Holy Spirit to his followers. Now, in all four Gospels, John the Baptist says of Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, in Matthew, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Matthew in chapter 3. It goes from 13 through 16. John baptizes Jesus in the River Jordan. How many people have been to Jerusalem in the River Jordan? There you are. I have too. So Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, and he came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens opened up. And he saw the Spirit of God, and it descended like a dove upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, you know, Jesus was an adult when he was baptized in the River Jordan. So it was then that the Spirit anointed Jesus for his ministry. Now the dove that came upon him symbolizes gentleness, innocence, and meekness, and that Jesus would be a sacrifice for our sins. After his 40 days of fasting and prayers in the wilderness, Jesus began his ministry of teaching and healing. Mind you, Jesus did not do all of this until he received the Spirit. As part of our creed, we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, and the communion of saints. In Acts 1, verse 8, says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to the end of the world. God loves us unconditionally and has created each of us for a full, happy life in union with one God who is Father, Son, and Spirit. We can see evidence of this love in creation. You can go out and you can see all this beauty that God has provided for us. The human heart is filled with all kinds of dreams, desires, hopes, and plans. We search for health, happiness, and security. All of these desires point towards something more, a bigger dream, a greater hope, and a sense of meaning and purpose in life. Our effort is to find happiness, and our own longings often fail to satisfy us. Now God has a plan for each one of us. In Isaiah, God says, come, listen, and live. God wants that intimacy of a personal relationship. I can't stress that enough. With each one of us, God acts, God speaks, and God touches us and intervenes in our lives. God is love, and he offers us the fullness of life. God has begun this new life in us through the sacrament of baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. God's love and presence is our lifelong gift. The Life in the Spirit seminar is an opportunity to explore and ratify our baptismal vows so that we can grow in our life in the Spirit. It helps us focus on the living sign of the cross and the creed as our response to God. First, if you have been baptized but are a Catholic in name only, or if you are seriously considering the sacraments of initiation, which is the baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist, God will offer you a new beginning, a genuine relationship with Jesus. Secondly, those who have been trying to live the Christian life but do not seem to be able to sustain a life of faith will discover how to yield areas of their lives to God's Holy Spirit. And thirdly, Catholics who have already been experienced an ongoing personal relationship with Christ will have a chance to re-root in the message of the gospel and the promises of Pentecost. Now, God is closer than you think. He is never further than a prayer. He is the very air that we breathe. Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift of God, which is in the Holy Spirit and is in you, each one of us. We have that gift. We need to stir it up, and then the gifts are ours. For greater is he that is in us, which is God, than he that's in the world, which is the devil. I want to share a little story about my brother. My brother John is the oldest of 11 of us in the family. And he had every reason to become angry now and then, because my dad died when I was 2 years old, and he left 11 children with my poor mother. So my brother John was 14 years old, and he had a lot of responsibility. So as the years went by, and he grew older, my brother John then, he was not an alcoholic, but he did drink. And when he did, he was ugly. He was angry all the time. So when St. Elizabeth Ann Seton had their Life in the Spirit seminar, I was very involved, and my folks all live in Pittsburgh and Washington, PA. And so I happened to be visiting with them, and I said to my brother, I says, John, would you like to come to the Life in the Spirit? And his response was, I don't want to hear it. Don't even talk about it. Angry. And I said, John, I said, I'll be giving a talk. And he looked at my sister, my older sister, and he said, what do you think? Well, she said, I'm going. And then I think he felt bad, because he looked at me and he said, when? And I told him the time. And he says, I don't know, maybe I'll come and hear you, but I don't want to hear no more. I said, that's fine. Well, that first week, my sister and he and several others in the family came to Morgantown, and they attended the Life in the Spirit, and as usual, I gave the first talk. And he listened, and he came up to me later and said, that was good, that was good. I said, well, thank you, John. And then when he went home, they talked about it, and my sister said, he called every day. Are we going back? She said, yeah, I'm going. He said, well, I want to go back. So he came to the Life in the Spirit, and whenever the fifth one to be baptized in the Spirit, my brother John was baptized in the Spirit. I want to tell you, what a changed person. He never drank again. He never got angry again. He was so sweet. It was such a transformation in that man that you had to witness to believe it. And so, you know, everybody at home were saying, well, what happened to you? I don't know. But he was happy after that. I mean, it was a joy to be around him. Whereas before, we just didn't want to be around him when he was drinking. You know, we celebrate God's presence right here tonight in the teachings, in the scripture, in the songs, and in the sharings, and also the witnessing. And above all, we share God's love with each other. I want to thank you for listening. I hope some of this got through to you. I could go on and on, but then we have a witness now, and she's going to share what the good Lord has done for her.
that sharing. I want to introduce another one of our sisters, Kathleen Brooks. Kathleen is a member of our prayer group. Meets every Tuesday night down at St. John's. And Kathleen has a witness to share with us here tonight.
My testimony today is supposed to be about the discovery of God's personal love. I've not been very good at loving or feeling loved. I grew up in a family where there was not a lot of hugging or nurturing. I'm sure my parents loved me in their way, but I experienced more expectations than affirmations. As the oldest of four children, I felt that I was responsible for doing what my parents expected of me. It seems to me that the church I grew up in also stressed duty, doctrine, and obedience more than God's love. I was a faithful Catholic, but not a joyful one. Yes, I prayed. I learned early on to say the morning offering. You know the one. Oh Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you all my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day. In other words, what I would do, not what God was doing for me. In spite of that, God broke through into my life. But my experience of God in my younger years was of God's abiding presence and peace, more than really feeling loved. Let me give you an example. In grade school and in high school, the good sisters always presented religious life as the ideal for us. I never felt that call, but the pressure was there. On retreat in college, I prayerfully tried to consider what God wanted me to do. I was willing to turn my life over to Him. I remember standing in front of a large statue of Jesus on that retreat and saying, "Is this what you want from me?" And the answer was, "No." I felt that I was truly in Jesus' presence and deeply at peace. Not joyful, not even particularly loved, just at peace. I married, had children, continued to practice my faith, but something was missing. Again, God broke through into my life. St. John's Bulletin announced a Life in the Spirit seminar at St. Elizabeth Seton Parish. I thought it would be a series of lectures about the Holy Spirit. There's no way I would have signed up for a charismatic prayer experience. I completed the seminar, was prayed over, and baptized in the Holy Spirit. My prayer life deepened, and I read more scripture. But life intervened, and I drifted back to my routine faith practices. My family life and work were demanding. I thought I was living a successful life. It was stressful and somehow empty. Then I was knocked off my course. I learned that I had cancer with a 35% chance of 5-year survival. God had my attention and God was there for me. Again, some examples. When I was having a CAT scan to see if the cancer had spread to my liver or my lungs, I couldn't stop trembling in the CAT scanner. And you can't get a good image on a trembling body. I cried out, "God, help me." And I heard His answer clearly. "Be still and know that I am God." My trembling stopped, and again, I had that assurance of God's presence and deep peace. After my cancer surgery, someone, I'll never know who, left a card at my bedside while I was sleeping with a picture of high mountains. I've always loved the Sierra Nevada mountains and Psalm 131 on the other side. Psalm 131's first two verses are, "Lord, my heart is not proud, nor are my eyes haughty. I do not busy myself with great matters, with things too sublime for me. Rather, I have stilled my soul, hushed it like a weaned child, like a weaned child so is my soul within me. With that song, I truly felt loved and nurtured by God. Soon after I left the hospital, St. John's Bulletin again had an announcement of a life in the Spirit Seminar at St. Elizabeth's. My recovery wasn't going well, and I grasped at anything that would relieve my fear and pain. Kay Gargarello was the contact person. I called her, and she encouraged me to come to the seminar and become a mentor for me. I still found it hard to open my heart to God, but I was getting better. Kay gave me another song, which has been a blessing to me and helped me to really experience God's love. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, my soul. All my being, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul. Do not forget all the gifts of God, who pardons all your sins, heals all your ills, delivers your life from the pit, surrounds you with love and compassion, and fills your days with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. That was in 1996. In 1997, my son David was killed in an auto accident in Japan as he was on his way to pick up his wife and five-week-old son. David was living a life of love and service in Japan, but he was not religious. I feared for his salvation. At a charismatic conference in Charleston, as I prayed for David, I clearly heard God say to me, "Trust your son. Trust my son." A loving God the Father reassured me that his mercy was greater than I could imagine. God's been very patient with me on my slow travel towards him. Whenever I have cried out to him for help, he's answered me with love. God's love and peace have always been with me, whether I was open to it or not, and I can rejoice in his love now. One last example about God's personal love for someone else. I visit the Federal Correctional Institute here in Morgantown, which used to be called the Kennedy Center. We felt that if the prisoners couldn't come to church, the church should reach out to them. The first time I was to go there, I was really panicked. Again, I cried out to God, "God, what can I say to these men?" And the answer came back, clear as could be, "Tell them how much I love them." And those are some of the ways that I've experienced God's love in my life.